This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Whatever. I came into this room. I didn't even know you weren't in here. And I just go, what's up, boys? Thanks for waiting.
preemptive.
That's
funny. All right, real quick before we start, my buddy Rob hit me up. He's like, I'm at Queen Anne Beer Hall. It was 7:09. I was like, if they're not on by 7:10, I'm going to Queen Anne Beer Hall.
Oh, dude, that would be perfect for one.
So Cobb tapped in right before you called it, and then I'm still at Albertson's getting gigantic marshmallows. Skewers.
All right. You guys ready to rock?
Today, you are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The. Podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody. Blah, blah, blah. Welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The top left square. He's local. He's wearing his own sponsorship gear. Guess what, David Cobb? Cobb, what's going on?
Wow, Ted, for once, finally stumbling out of the gates. I love it. In all fairness to him, he did have to wait on this stream for 20 minutes for Matt and I to show up, and he was about to abandon us. What's up, boys? Let's rock and roll.
That sounds so much harsher when you say abandon.
Well, you said you were about to go to a beer hall, which sounds pretty cool. So very fair.
You know me, if I go to a beer hall, I'd say within 20 minutes, like, what's he doing? Like, he's probably eating a sausage and drinking a giant beer. It's Ted.
Yeah.
About to lock in on a pretzel, son.
He's checked out some ladies, hasn't spoken to them, but made friends with the guy.
All right, down there in the bottom square, getting the studio all set up. Never misses an appointment. Matt Copper, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Good to see you, boys. Like I was saying beforehand, pleasant surprise, and yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm so stoked to see you both.
First of all, if I had thought about it, I would have told him to come on the podcast. Our mutual friend, a man that we've, Cobb hasn't worked with, but he knows him from over the years, our buddy Brian Thorpe. Did you see what happened to Brian Thorpe on Friday night?
No, I have no idea.
All right, so I was driving down to Portland for the weekend, and our buddy Keith from Cool Customs does all the t-shirts and stuff. We've had him on the podcast. Keith sends me a text and just goes, what's a country song about boats? But I'm driving to Portland, right? So I'm like, you know, I try not to text and drive, but I saw the text. I was like, that's a weird one. Like, I'll text him when I get to Portland. So I check in, and I was out in Gresham, check into my hotel. It's like 10:30. Call this little bar around the corner. They're like, yeah, we're still serving food. I say, cool. I go in there and I'm like, Keith, do you mean a song about boats or just a good country song to listen on boats? And he goes, just text Brian about boats. Right? Like, keep in mind, it's like 10:30 at night. I'm sipping my first beer of the night and I'm just like, BT, heard you're on a boat. And he's like, tonight I am. And he starts sending me these pictures. And it's his name in drones at T-Mobile Park where the Mariners play.
What?
And then it's him like underneath like fireworks and stuff. And I'm like, what in the hell? And then he sends me, he's like, I just want a pontoon boat. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
What?
So the bar is not that crowded. The bartender's cute enough. So I'd already been BSing with her when I called and said, are you guys, she picked up the phone and said, and I heard her go, that's what I'm annoyed about. And then she's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. So, you know me, I can't help myself. So I'd already started. I go, what's annoying you tonight? She's like, what? And I'm like, when you picked up the phone. So we had already BS'd a little bit. And I go, do you like baseball? And she's like, my 12-year-old son plays travel ball. We watch the games all the time. I go, did you watch the game tonight? She's like, yeah. I go, did you see him giving away a boat? She goes, my son was fired up about it. And I go, well, my buddy Brian won it.
So oh, man.
He won like a $40,000 pontoon boat at the Mariners game.
What? Just randomly?
Yeah. I guess he was at a game like 2 weeks beforehand. And like they put up a QR code. So Brian runs all the events for Odyssey nationwide. So he was telling me today, he goes, I saw the QR code and I was like, that's a pretty unique prize. Let's just see what it's about. He ends up signing up. And then he said he got an email, like, I guess last week that were like, he said he didn't even open it. And then it dawned on him, like, wait a minute. That's not from the Mariners at work. That's from the Mariners to me, my personal email.
Oh,
and he opens it up
God.
And it's like, you're one of the finalists, this and that. So, I mean, and then they had his name in drones, like above the stadium.
Oh, my God. He won a pontoon boat. Like, what a wild... Dude, I think that's the best prize I've ever heard of somebody I know actually winning.
Yeah,
pontoon
right?
boats also are they're the best kind of boats in my opinion.
Like party barge, boats.
Yeah, party exactly, dude. You get that bad boy on Lake Union. I mean, I of course the hilarious part is like winning a liability is bizarre, but God, that is freaking cool. I'm in.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's ever won a prize that big. I mean, it's mind-blowing. And then when I'm sitting there at that bar, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then they like kept sending me videos and I'm like, you're gonna have to bleep this. I'm like, this is fucking insane. Like, even now that I'm talking about it, I still can't believe he won a goddamn boat.
He won a pontoon boat. Dude, that, oh my God, that's honestly unreal. The only thing even close I heard of is a friend of my wife's went on The Price is Right and won patio furniture. But it was like a huge patio set and they didn't have a patio. So they kept it in storage for 3 years and then sold it.
Yeah. Like
a pontoon boat. It's like, dude, it's the middle of summer. Like, get out there.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I was like, you should talk to Taryn. They got a lot of land. Maybe you could store it there. But like, also like, I don't know. You kind of want to store it somewhere where you can just be like, yeah, look. And it's like wrapped in Mariners. Like, I mean, it looks awesome.
Sick. Dude, boat guy. You got to have a boat guy. Now you got one.
Yeah. I mean, look, when I got back from Portland Sunday afternoon, right? I go over to my other friend's house because he's got his TV out on the deck and everybody's watching that Seawolves championship game. So I show up, it's like second half, and I go, hey, did anybody go to the baseball game Friday night? And he's like, yeah, dude, I was there. And I go, did anything special happen at the fireworks? And he's like, well, this guy won a boat. And look, I took a picture of his name. And I'm like, yeah, that's my buddy.
Dude, Ted, I have to throw out this disclaimer. This is definitely not financial advice. But what you should consider is, you know, he's probably like, I mean, slips are expensive. But what we do down in Austin, one of my friends has a boat and three of us split the price of a really good slip. And we have like a boat share. That's a big thing down there. I bet you could get like five of you guys to just like split a slip somewhere on Lake Union and just like have a downtown Seattle boat. That would be incredible.
That's actually a damn good idea.
Flip share. Yeah,
I mean, full disclaimer, since I studied finance, it's an awful idea financially. But as your friend, I do think it would be very fun and worth it.
I mean, I'm
just
with
to
you.
Be clear. Awful financial investment.
Yeah, till you're on that boat.
Yeah, till you're on that motherfucking boat, baby.
Yeah, you know what? You know what comes with a boat? Chicks.
Chicks. Dude, I watched it. Oh my God, I'm so happy you said that. I watched it play out at Shambhala, that music festival we went to. All right, so most people will bring a tent. Occasionally, people will bring an RV. We had sort of like a camping trailer thing. A couple enterprising young lads brought a boat. They just towed a boat in with their truck and then they camped like in the, you know, like some boats have like a cabin. And damned if they didn't have different women on that thing every day. And we were laughing. We were joking about it. We were like, God, like boats and hoes, like they really do go together, you know? And every day there was different women on it. And there was a woman at our camp hanging out. And she was like, I should go over there and see what's up. And I'm like, we're going to lose you too. Like women, hoes never come back from that boat. And she's like, no, I'll go check it out. And I'm like, that's how they got all those women. Like they take all the women from the surrounding camps, and I respect it. So anyway, yes, Ted, this could be your new dating plan.
I will say this. Like there's only been a few times, I shouldn't say a few, but it's not awkward that like a woman is that attractive where like she's like, we're hitting it off that good, where in my head I'm like, this doesn't seem right. Or like one of the few times that has happened is on a boat, and it was just survival of the fittest. Like yeah. There was just so many hot chicks on the boat, you know, it's like, yeah, my number was up.
Exactly. Ted's a boat guy. Boats are just, at the end of the day, they're just straight proof of burn, man. It's just showing that you got it. Like, well, we are on a boat, so that says something.
Yeah. And also like,
I know she's not paying for gas.
Right. And it's like, even if it's just us three, right? It's like, yeah, we're hanging out by the lake. You want to go on the boat? 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just don't drive it like Cobb does when we're demanded to drive.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say, man. Is you can get your Washington boater's license. I did it. It only took about 4 hours. And, dude, you have a great shot at being a boat guy here. I mean, it makes sense for Brian, too. You know, like, who wants to pay boat fees? Maybe he doesn't even pay slip fees. He's the guy with the boat, you know? But pontoon boat on Lake Union would be pretty damn cool.
That would be legit.
Just think about it. Not for yourself, for us, for me. Think about me, Ted. What have you done for me lately? Hashtag boat guy. Look, when you come to Texas, I will get you on a boat.
I mean, it's the truth, though. Like I don't know how to explain it. Like, boat life is just different.
It's honestly, I used to hate boaters. Boat life is literally just better. Being on a boat, like, life looks a little different. That glass, like, that champagne's a little sweeter, my guy. The food tastes a little bit better, I promise you. And the women are just always a little bit hotter on a boat.
Yeah, exactly. Charcuterie tray, lovely. Charcuterie mm-hmm. tray on a boat, now we're fancy.
Game changer. Game yeah. changer. Yeah, you pop champagne in a room, maybe you hit the ceiling, whatever. You pop champagne on a boat. It's like, women are like mermaids. Like they just come swimming up to it and throw themselves upon the bow.
Yeah. And like,
I can't explain it.
Full disclosure. Even if like, you don't think they're the hottest chicks, it's like they're in a bathing suit. So they automatically look hotter. Like this is all part of boat life.
And frankly, Ted, on a boat with your gold chain, you look hotter too.
You're okay? Goddamn right.
You want a photo for like social media or dating site? Ted Smith, okay, pretty good. Ted Smith on a boat with a cocktail in his hand? Give me a break. They're jumping Ooh. In the boat.
He could have different ones from with like different weather behind him, and he's wearing different trunks, and they're like, that might be his boat.
It could be his boat.
Clearly, this guy spends a lot of time on boats. I mean, he's been on a boat more than once. Dude.
Yeah, wow. And he probably won't even have to. You can delete the dating profile. You have a boat. You know what I'm saying? Just hang. Ted, dude, I would love if after work, you don't even have the license. You're just down there just polishing the chrome on these pontoons. It's like, oh, yeah, this, you know, well, it's a boat share. Oh, I love this new life for you, Ted. Look, right? I'm happy for Brian. Congratulations on winning. But, Ted, this could be take it to a whole new reality.
Yeah, I went from swimming in Lake Union to swimming in pussy.
Oh, incredible. Wow. I feel like you won the boat, really. If you think about it.
We won the boat.
If you do the math, the podcast won the boat. Okay.
It's like, you know, we'll have cool t-shirts because Keith will make them.
Oh, dude, I love that. I probably haven't talked to Brian in 4 years. I'm just going to come climbing out of the woodwork like, hey, I heard you got a boat. I'm in. And we're back. Oh, that's incredible.
That would be kind of funny if you just randomly text him. Hey, man, long time no talk. Anyhow, heard you got a boat.
Yeah, heard we're boat guys now, and you're looking for people to fund a dock or a slip. God, that would be hilarious, man. Well, Ted, congratulations on your new boat. I'm pumped for you.
I feel tanner.
Ted, you look taller. Call me crazy, dude, but you actually look taller on this podcast.
Taller, tanner, lose some weight. What's going on? Like,
wow. The jokes are funnier.
Boat guy now.
Exactly, dude. Everything just hits different on a boat, I promise you. Ted, look, I didn't join the boat life until 4 months ago, and you know, my life has changed forever.
All right. Here's a question on boat life, though. Now, it's only happened to me once in my life on the log boom at Seafair. I was fine with it. Some people gave me some crap about it. How do you feel about the shirtless bro hug?
Well, quickly, we should set the scene because there are many, you know, there are many environments that would affect the outcome on a shirtless bro hug. The log boom is, I would arguably say, the one time a year that Seattle lets its hair down and goes full redneck Riviera. Seattle's a pretty casual and like professional, I guess, town, or I don't know, intellectual town. But the log boom is a giant log boom, probably what, 400 yards long. Dozens of boats tie up to it, and it is just a raucous bacchanalia. And everyone jumps between boats, and there's beautiful women who, you know, I don't even know where they live the rest of the year, but everyone comes out of the woodwork. It's a great party, a ton of fun. Shirtless bro hug. I think in that context, all right, I got to make one clarifying thing, and I'm sorry to be the detail guy, but Ted, are we talking about a dap and a hug, or just a straight raw dog hug, chest to chest, you know, sunscreen, whatever?
This was years ago, but like, I'm on the log boom. I look over. There's a buddy. We were super close at the time. We would party together all the time. He would always host these after parties. I did not realize their boat was going to be so close. They're like, Ted, you got to get over here. So I walked down the log boom, or on the back of the other boats, and I get up there. And my boy's a big dude, right? He was filled out. He played college hoops. So we just full on, you know, like I would with you guys, wouldn't give it a second thought. And then some of the other people on the boat, you know, this is the Kirkland crowd, are like, oh, you shouldn't be hugging shirtless, this and that. And it's like, who cares? So that was my stance on it. I was like, dude, I was going to see him today, like pumped to see him, like we're having a good time. Yeah. Bros hug, shirtless or not.
They said you shouldn't be hugging shirtless. Dude, technically. Matt, did you have something? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I mean, technically, the Juanita home I grew up in is now has been incorporated into Kirkland. So I have love for Kirkland, but the Kirkland bro culture has been out of control for years. They get a bad rap, and this is why. Like, I feel like men who are shaming other men for anything that's like perceived even remotely like quote unquote gay is ridiculous. If anything, guys aren't as good at making friends and relationships as women. And we should be encouraging all connection between guys, platonic or otherwise. I think a hug is perfectly reasonable in that situation. I think they shamed you for it because they didn't get one, or maybe they don't have friends that they're that close with. So I view it as a sign of insecurity. The same thing when people like think it's weird that, you know, like if you're dancing or like that I played on a gay softball team or whatever, it's like pure insecurity in its highest form. Not doing Kirkland douchebags any credit. So I say hug away, especially anytime, but especially on the log boom at Seafair. Like, if you can't let it down then at the Redneck Riviera of Seattle, when can you?
Yeah, that's what I was just like.
That's ludicrous. Those guys are not your friends, Ted. They don't want the best for you. And they're not coming on our new boat.
No, that's a requirement. For guys to get aboard the boat, tarps off, hug on.
Tarps. Yes. Yes, Ted.
I'm going to go on a limb and say Matt has no issue with a shirtless bro. I mean, we've hugged shirtless plenty of time.
Obviously, boys. Like, duh. I would be kissing each other on the lips. But was this during the no homo era?
Yeah, I will say this was definitely probably like 2010.
Okay.
2011.
That's peak no homo era. No homo. And Kirkland was like the hub of it.
Yeah, and like I don't think Kirkland, I don't think those dudes are like that anymore. But I mean, right, this was Ed Hardy was king of the world. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? There was a lot of that stuff going on.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't think it matters. But I mean, also like people get so and I wasn't always this way. I mean, truthfully, a lot of it I think has to do with that river at Meltdown, but like sometimes people, their own insecurities, you know, they'll just put it on others, right? So, like, I can't remember if it was me and Matt or me and somebody else in the river, and somebody was like, I wouldn't stand next to him. He's, you know, shirtless. Like, he's, like, shredded. I'm like, well, yeah, but he's also my buddy, and we're in a river. What am I supposed to not stand next to him and just yell over at him?
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't that bring more attention to his six-pack? Right? You're screaming at him across the river? that's wild. Well, Ted, you know that standing next to something beautiful usually makes you look better. Case in point, the boat.
Oh, 100%.
And Matt does have a phenomenal body, and credit to him.
Thank you.
No homo.
Well, I mean, dude, it's like when you go out, right? If you're single, right? This happened to me at the Chesney concert, right? Like, truthfully, again, our buddy Keith, like, he came up to the suite with his girlfriend, and then she started talking to this very attractive blonde and, like, was just talking. So then, like, it's just amazing. That woman, like, starts talking to me, and within 2 minutes, she's like, well, this guy I'm here with, well, it's not serious. Like, we just started dating, this and that. And I'm like, oh, if you just have another woman, like, with you, and it's your dude, like, it helps out. You're right. You stand next to something beautiful, like, just helps.
Pre-validated.
Yeah, exactly. I come with a wristband that says, not a creep.
Exactly. It's like a cognitive shortcut, you know? She has outsourced the background check to this other woman, at least the initial one.
I mean, yeah, that's why women like wedding rings.
Wow.
That's what I've heard. I've heard, like, legit, they're not saying it's not, like, adulterous women. They're just, like, there's some of, like, safety there or something.
Yeah, dude, that makes sense to me.
It helps. And, like, I have tried to be, I'll be careful how I say this, but, like, I have been plenty of times traveling a different city or whatever with a group of four dudes. Fine. But I've also traveled where it's three dudes and one attractive woman. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's just a better in. And it's just get over here. You know, it's like, well, she's with them, so they can't be that bad.
Yeah, 100%. And women are better at socializing too, which helps, but definitely easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Plus, like, I don't know. There is definitely times, and I'm bad about it, where it's like, the boys hanging out, this and that. But, like, at the end of the day, if it's a party, like, I tell, like, nobody ever, I've yet to been somewhere where somebody went, it's just too many chicks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I was laughing when I made that joke about you in the bar at the beginning of this cast. I'm like, I don't talk to them either, in all fairness. Yeah. Like, I'll go to a bar and I'll be like, wow, you know, that woman's beautiful. Like, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm going to hang out with my friends and, like, imagine what I would say were I to talk to her. Like, it never actually happens. I never get there.
Dude, I'll tell you what, Friday golf? Night. What's that, Matt? Sorry.
Do you think she likes golf?
I bet she loves golf and she's really good. Zero handicap.
They have nothing annoying about them. They're into all the same stuff as me. It's amazing.
Exactly. Everything was beautiful and nothing hurts. You know, always. They all have amazing backstories. Like, oh, you think she's a professional dancer? Like, she's not. She's just as annoying as your ex, I promise. But, you know, well, you don't talk to them. They remain flawless.
I was going to say, the other thing that helped was at that Chesney show, that woman was attractive. But then she was like, I used to dance for the Seahawks. And I was like, no shit. I have a friend that used to dance for the Seahawks and then was on the Sonics dance team. And she's just like, what? And then, like, I said that girl's name and she's like, oh, my God, she was the best. This, like, how do you know? I was like, oh, we're just buddies. So, again, right, it's like, yeah, I already hang out with your type.
Dude. Nice, Ted. Excellent drop.
Sometimes I feel it when I'm walking around like a dumbass on my own. Like the way I get interacted with versus if I'm walking around like a dumbass with my girlfriend.
Oh, like, yeah. Night and day.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm the same idiot.
Yeah. Dude, it happened to me at one of our events a couple months ago. Like, as soon as we walk in, like, you know, again, tractable moment, like, comes over, just like, like, you look like, she's like, to me and Mike, she goes, you guys look like you could use a beer. And I'm like, do I know you? And she's like, no, just a big fan. Just thought I'd get you guys a beer. And I'm like, cool. And she's like, I'm sitting over there. I'm like, all right. So I'm like on stage and I see her. And then I'm like, all right, I see she's with a dude. So as soon as I get off stage, I walk over and he's like, yeah, that's my wife. He's like, I figured I had a better shot of getting your attention if I sent her over with the beers instead of just me. And I was like, yeah, it worked.
Yeah, worked. Here I am. God.
Well played.
Right? Yep. I was like, touche. They were very nice. They grew up with Taryn. Shocker. Tell you what, though, boys. Friday night, for half an hour in that bar getting takeout food, I was on fire. Like, my buddies already went in the boat. I never got to the point where I was like gonna mention like the dad, but she's a bartender. It's Friday night, 12-year-old son talking about all the tournaments and everything for baseball and travel team. And I was like, well, you got to get a mug. She's like, I already got the mugs and the chairs. I'm like, all right, blah blah blah. So we BS, get my food to go. I'm walking out and I was like, all right, thanks. I said, hey, by the way, tell your son to lay off the high stuff. And she just stops. She goes, how did you know he swings at high pitches? I'm like, well, you know, I was like, I know baseball or something. And like, I walked out. I'm like,
some cool like, line.
Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, I was a 12-year-old boy once. They all swing at high pitches. I forget. This is just simple stuff that's ingrained in my head. Tell your boy to lay off the high stuff. How'd you know? I know ball.
That's such a good out, dude.
That is a great out. I mean, that. I wish you had gotten her number because that's an incredible leave.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And I walked out. I was like, God damn, that was cool. But I can't walk back in.
Yeah.
By the way.
Like, by the way. Yeah, exactly. By the way, this son we've been talking about, does he have a dad?
I know.
Is he bigger than me? Does he have a boat?
Does he have a boat? I have a boat. Yeah. Oh, partial boat. It's a timeshare.
Exactly. So let me put it this way. Yeah, you know, you ever been to Anthony's? Have you ever been to Anthony's on a boat? I don't know.
I also like the idea. Poor Brian Thorpe goes over to his boat and just like my phone starts ringing. What up, BT? Are you on the boat? Oh, we're in the middle of Lake Union. It's live. What's up? I was going to use it today. Oh, sorry, dude. You want us to pick you up?
Kind of in the middle of something right now, BT. A couple live ones on the line. I love this.
I'm with you. I love the idea of that actually happening.
I mean, yeah, you know, in all fairness, joking aside, yeah, you should throw it out in the ring. I mean, who wants to pay for a mortgage by the way? Who wants to own a boat solo? No upside.
Oh, you know what? That's maybe the one time the boat is not cool. If you're not on like a pontoon boat, just one guy cruising around.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. That's if you're not ferrying it from one spot to another, that's a tough look. I mean, one of my buddies who lived on a houseboat had like a little, I guess you'd call it a skiff, and he would dart around on that thing. That was kind of cool. But like pontoon boat, I mean, that's like a party where no one showed up. You know, that's a bad look.
It's like my deal with eating a pizza by yourself in a restaurant. You go in for a slice, fine. And I've eaten in plenty of restaurants by myself. But when I lived in that building in Belltown, there was that Italian restaurant underneath me. And there was outdoor seating. And I walk by and lock eyes with this guy. And he's got a whole pizza in front of him. And it's just him. And I'm just like, God damn it. I want to respect you. But that just looks bad, dude.
Oh, yeah. And it's like kind of a romantic little Italian spot, too.
Tell me your date's on her way.
I mean, yeah. I mean, boys, you could weigh in on this, but last week I went to Mod Pizza solo. I did get a whole pizza and a salad, ate alone. Where are we at? That feels less sad to me. Fast casual. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Mod pizza. I like Mod pizza, but to me that's like a lunchtime pizza.
So I'm getting a fast casual exemption? Or should
Correct.
I be ashamed?
For sure.
Okay.
No, that's a fast casual exemption.
Yeah, that feels, you know. I mean, it's not the best look, right? But, you know, could be worse.
Well, again, this place is a nice kind of romantic restaurant. Like, you know, like that silver tower they put the pizza on. It was like on one of those.
Dude, I got to tell. Okay. That reminds me of just people being alone and bad looks. I got to tell a quick story. I may have told on the cast years ago, but so when I was living in Seattle.
Real quick. And like, yeah. I respect that the guy just like, I want this pizza. I want to sit outside. But it's just like, my guy, that's not the look.
I respect the confidence too. And yeah. I eat almost every meal solo when I go to restaurants and stuff. But all right. So I always tried to put out the reputation of like, look, you know, I don't really like to make plans way in advance, but if you hit me up last minute, like you have an extra ticket to something and you hit me up, there's a 95% chance I will be there. Like I could put myself, I have a scooter. I could put myself anywhere in this city in about 30 minutes. So sure enough, like I've been doing this strategy for a few years and it pays off. I get a text from my buddy. Hey, do you want to go to the Sounders match? I'm like, you got an extra ticket? He's like, I do. Sure. No problem. I'm in. He's like, meet me at the stadium. The game starts in 25 minutes. I go, okay, damn, I'm 24 minutes away. So hop on the scooter, bomb down to the stadium, park, come running up. And, you know, there's that big crowd out front. And so I kind of see our friend, I don't know if I want to say who it is. I'm not going to say who it is, but you guys both know him. And we start walking through the crowd into the stadium and he hands me the ticket, but I don't look down because we're, you know, I'm trying to stick with him and he's hauling. The game starts in like 1 minute. He doesn't want to miss kickoff, but I can feel the ticket and it feels weird. So we go into the stadium, kind of go to the left. We go up this like elevator thing and we get off and I'm like seeing all these doors and I'm like, what is going on? And we're walking really fast. I'm like, oh, are these suites? Like, oh, maybe there's like some seating on this level, whatever. And then my buddy goes and opens the door to a suite and I'm like, oh dude, we're in a suite. And he goes, we're not just in a suite. And he opens the door and the suite is empty, not a soul. And he confides in me, he goes, hey, look, man, the only reason I invited you to this game is I didn't want to get put up on the big screen sitting in a suite alone. So this suite was a client of his who never uses it. And so he was just like, I was too embarrassed to be in there eating a seafood tower solo on the big screen. So that's why you're here.
That's a really good call, dude.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it would have been an awful look.
One of the last Sonics games I went to, a friend of a friend, they had suite tickets. And we looked to our left. He goes, look in the suite to the left of us. And it was, what's his name? The guy that bought him and moved him to Oklahoma Clay. City. Clay Bennett?
Yeah, I think so.
And you're right. He was just sitting there by himself, like eating crackers with cheese. And like every once in a while, like a waiter would come down. Not a single, and I remember us sitting there being like, look how sad and pathetic he looks. He doesn't even have friends.
Oh my God, that is evil.
Yeah.
Dude, people talk a lot of S about Clay Bennett, but that is a sinister move to just sit there. Not even, I mean, you have some shame, you know, like you could
sit,
maybe
sit
pull
in the
off
back.
Courtside solo. So yes, yeah, on the back, sit courtside solo, maybe. And kind of, it looks like you're maybe with those other people, but like a suite alone. I mean, moving the Sonics was shameless, but God damn, this might be more shameless than robbing a whole city of their favorite team. I love the Sonics. That is, wow. This is a real passion.
You're right.
A real, yeah.
It was a bad look.
God, that sends chills down my spine. That, oh, dude, that man, I don't wish ill on anybody, but that is a psychopath move. Even, God, I just Googled him and his Wikipedia picture looks pretty psychopathic. Hopefully he's not a listener, but God.
Oh, if Clay Bennett is listening to this podcast, like that would be the most random thing in the world.
If Clay Bennett is listening, then give us our fucking team back.
Yeah.
I was so honestly, dude, I'm not like, even that big of a sports fan. I was so pissed off when the Sonics left. I'm still mad about it. Truthfully.
I wouldn't generally say this, but if Clay Bennett's listening, fucking turn it off, dude.
Shut it down. Right? You're not allowed to listen anymore.
You don't get a shirtless hug. You don't get a hug.
Yeah. Wow. There's a lot of directions we could go there with Oklahoma, but I'm just going to pass. Just let them slide on by.
I could give them one of the rarely used spite hugs.
Oh, yeah, dude. Sex is much more common. Spite hug is a rare treat.
Yeah. She runs up on you and gives you a big old hug and you just kind of give like a half, like, good to see you.
Yep. There's two people who consistently do that to me, and I've tripled down on the serious double arm hug. I don't care. I'm leaning in.
All right, let's take a break here and we'll come back with some emails. What's battening in the cop topic? All right, welcome back to the podcast. Thanks to all our sponsors. Speaking of sponsors, have you guys been watching the Olympics?
Yes.
Just a little bit, and I saw the women's volleyball team kick ass today. How about you?
All right. I did not see that. I watched some of the women's soccer match this morning. Men's basketball team dominated. Jesus Christ. I'm not going to. Either way, I met some new neighbors in my building. Talked to one woman. She had a baby and a small dog. They live next door now. She was very nice. She was saying she's from South Sudan. And I was like, oh, yeah, your basketball team. She's like, you got to meet my sister. Smoke show.
Really? Like,
unreal. And I guess they have been living in Nebraska. So then just this smoke show woman from South Sudan, who's, you know, probably like 30, still has, I mean, just tube top, just top notch. And then she's talking to me about how much corn is in Omaha and how much. And it was like with her accent, how much she's like, no, I'm Cornhusker fan. And I'm like, oh, my God, I love you. I'm in love.
Does she like boats?
I'm sure she does.
That feels like the obvious question here, Ted.
I know.
Like, that's South Sudan. I'm like, you a gift, my guy.
Yeah, this I'm like, South Sudan. I need, like, they're already out of the tournament. Like, I need you to play another game. So I have a reason to go next door and be like, hey.
Yeah. Guys, checking out the South Sudan game. Dude, God, Ted, 1 week from now, Matt, mark my words, Ted will be an expert in South Sudanese politics and sports.
Well, dang.
So that's what they were impressed with. And then I was like, I didn't like him as he played at Duke. And then I was like, you know, bowls on the team. Like, it was wild. Trust me. That night, this was Sunday evening. I came back in here and just was Googling, like, South Sudanese, like, food, South Sudanese music. So, like, I need to have, like, a musical artist next time I see him be like, you guys ever listen to blah, blah, blah?
I mean, Ted, just the fact that she is a smoke show, she probably knows no one in town and her sister lives right next door to you and is impressed by obscure sports knowledge. We are 95% of the way there to a wife for you. Like, oh. If she likes boats, light beers and sports bars, it's over, my guy. We've won.
And I can't explain it to you, but listening to women in a foreign accent talk about college sports gets the engine revving, boys.
Oh. Buddy, this is, God, what a good day. This is perfect. Just Ted, I mean, I don't know where this, like, you got a boat and, like, you know, there's a rainbow and a woman to run through it with. Like, this is beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. That's God. This is the new, this is my, like, what's that called? You know, people have like a trash TV show they're watching and they're like, oh, well, whoever hooked up with whoever. And like, this person's dating this person. Like, you are my trash TV this season. I want updates. That's all I'm saying. Get her on that boat.
I'm going to have to call BT right after this podcast.
I'm going to send him this episode.
Brian, I have never asked you for anything. Okay.
Right. It's funny. He was on the morning show with Daily Miggs talking about it, but like, I bet they weren't talking about this.
No, this is a whole new paradigm. God.
All right. Also from the Olympics, where I got sidetracked. Complete opposite of attractive women from other countries. Did anybody see that pole vaulter from France?
Yeah.
I mean, my man is walking around with a goddamn hog.
Yeah. Cobb, did you see it?
No, I'm looking up right now.
All right.
So he, look, he does, he hits the pole with his leg first, but his junk clearly hits the pole second. And I read today that he already got an offer from the porn company Cam Soda, 250 G's. To do a live stream where he shows his manhood on the live stream.
250 G's?
Dude, I mean, it was for like a day. It was like, did you see this pole vaulter? And everybody's like, yeah, I saw it, dude. I didn't let my girl see it, but yeah, I saw it.
Wow. That's, I mean, if you're him, Ted, like no porn experience, no desire to be 250 G's, like, what do you think?
In.
Yeah, seriously, that's nothing to be embarrassed about. Like, get that hog out there.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting on a prized pony. You know, at some point, it's time for the show. Trot it out there and make your money.
I just sent you guys an Instagram post, but an artist I follow did a watercolor of that moment and painted the moment in question.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it looks like, and that's what actually knocked the pole off was his junk.
Yeah.
Well, his leg did hit it first. They wanted to clarify that, but I mean,
his third junk, leg,
his junk hits it clean.
Wow. Yeah. That's, and especially that's soft. Jesus, my guy.
I know.
And with adrenaline, I mean, adrenaline's not, I mean, I might as well be doing a cold plunge.
Yeah, that's not so bad for his wife.
That was the best thing I read was like, when everybody thought it was his junk that knocked it off, it was like, listen, this guy has to have a chance to reattempt that height at the Winter Olympics.
Like, oh, man.
That's only fair.
That's a wild moment to have in front of the entire world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look, his junk aside, like track and field, like you go to a track and field event, you're there all day. But like yesterday, right, because they're doing sprints, shot put, all that stuff. But at one point, there was nothing else going on. And a guy, he's American, but he jumps for Sweden. He's from Louisiana. So I guess his parents are Swedish.
Oh, yeah.
He set a new world record and there was no other events. So when he clears that pole, I mean, the whole stadium, 30,000 people, whatever, just erupts. And I'm like, all right, there's a reason to sit there and watch track and field all day.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I could watch track and field all day. I love that stuff. Okay. The 1500 was crazy. But yeah, that is so cool to see.
Triple jumps?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Triple jumps, a good one. Did you see that at all, Ted?
I didn't. I'll tell you what, every 4 years, I mean, look, I'll watch a little bit of the Penn relays, but man, watching people run the 100 and then the 200, it is just so fast. And I mean, you talk about athletes just on like the tippy top scale of the best of the best. I'm just like, God damn, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it gets even crazier as you get into like the hurdles, the 400, the 800. Like those are very, very challenging events. The 1500, the steeplechase. I'm a track and field fan, safe to say.
I mean, Ted, it's like crazier than March Madness with how quickly they're just lopping eight guys out of the pool at a time during those qualifying races where it's like top two advance out of 10 guys on the track. And you're just like, damn, dude, eight dudes' dreams, eight of the fastest dudes on the planet, like just dashed like that. It's wild how quickly they thin the herd to get to the finals. Like they're just cutting out 80% of every heat.
Dude, I'm with you. I kind of forget because you get used to watching the finals of something or the primetime coverage. Like the other night I woke up and I was like, screw it. I'm going to watch some swimming. And I don't know the distances, but this was like a long distance race. And I just forgot that like some people that qualify from their country just aren't on that level.
Yeah.
And there was one poor bastard, man. I mean, he was getting lapped. like every other lane was going this way and he's still going that way. And I was just like, oh, Yeah. Forget.
Yeah, that's like one of the few events where you see like the common man versus an Olympic quality athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Kyle, big thank you. You're right. I have been spouting swimming knowledge left and right about that pool. Like, I knew it wasn't deep enough, but also like the turbulence that comes up and this, people are just like, man. And I was talking about it in the men's room, and then I was like, well, you can hear Cobb explain it better on a brand new episode of the podcast.
Dude, the guy still awesome. Set a world record in that pool.
One
guy
did. I was
telling Tyler about that. Like, there's not going to be any world records. It's a slow pool.
Yeah. Right. Dude, but you also get keyed up with the Olympics and, you know, depending on his lane, I mean, if he has a good, like, you know, middle of the pool lane, you could still run pretty fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's going to affect you
the
least.
I think it was a 1600.
Yeah, it's going to depend on the event too. So yeah, 1600, I would actually expect the pool to affect you more than something that's quick.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of factors, but yeah, typically in a fast pool, you're not going to see a lot of records.
There's a bunch of not Michael Phelps out there.
Believe it or not, there are even fast tracks, like for track and field.
I'd believe that.
It has to do with how the, you know, in some stadiums, the wind circles. In some stadiums, the wind, you know, hits you on the backstretch. Some, it hits you on the home stretch. Some, you know, it circles through like UW and you get wind on three sides of the track. I mean, brutal, you know? So, but yeah. That same thing could be circling the other way and give you, you know, a huge advantage. So yeah, makes a difference.
That makes sense.
Also, if tracks get too hot, they can get very spongy and slow people down. So their hurdlers down. Everything. I mean, you know, when you're talking about hundredths of a second at that level, everything makes a difference.
Yeah, it's like the Mariners, man. Like, T-Mobile Park's a hard place to hit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, part of it has to do with the weather. And then I read this whole article on, like, behind the pitcher is always a black square, right? So you can see where the ball's releasing. And when they built that stadium, it's off just by, like, a few inches or something. So they were saying they think that has part to do with it, too. Because it's not perfect how it should be. So maybe it's off by like a foot. And they're like, batters have a hard time picking up the ball.
Oh, yeah, I'd believe that. And even with the gray tones in the sky, I mean, you could see how that could make it tough to pick up a ball. I mean, I went to see the Blue Angels from I-90. And those things are tough to even pick up on in the trees. And that's the middle of the day, full sunlight in the summer. I was like, man, those things, just that color is stealthy.
I'll tell you what, it has been years since I've owned a vehicle. I was driving into work Thursday after a doctor's appointment a little later than usual. I get it now. I was crossing the Ship Canal Bridge. Those Blue Angels came banking by in their diamond. And I mean, I legit looked up. I was like, God, that is cool. And like had to slam on my brakes. Clearly almost rear-ended somebody. Not like super fast, but just didn't pay attention. It was like, the Blue Angels, that's so fucking cool. Oh!
Ted's been in Seattle 20 years. We finally got him. The oldest trick in the Seattle playbook, baby. We got him, boys. Pack it up.
All right, well, if there's no emails, I guess we'll check in with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's
Madden? Before we get to what's Maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's
Madden? Check out with what's Maddening.
Hell yeah. It is a great weekend. So I had that weekend circled on my calendar for a while. Like a month and a half ago, my brother texted me and said he was going to be in town and asked if we could golf at the course that I work at, which he'd never played before. And like I've mentioned, it's pretty dope place that I was excited to show him. So I was looking forward to that. He came, we played on Friday and had a great time. I didn't play well, but I helped him play well. It's a hard course. You got to like know where you're going. So I was kind of playing his caddy and helped him shoot an 85 would be, you know, helping him get to 85 is a better accomplishment than my score. Let's leave it at that. All right. Like, it was a good round. It was very exciting to play with him.
Sounds like you were being a caddy and building snowmen at the same time.
Yeah, it's busy. Yeah, searching for balls. I mean, damn, it was crazy. But so
I like that.
It was busy. It was a fun fun to just hang out with him. And so he had a kid, you know, over 2 years ago now. And so kind of ever since then, it's always like, hey, is my niece coming? Hey, what's up with my... And I intentionally didn't ask leading up this whole time until like a couple days later, because I've been working at my dad's house doing construction, and it was a complete mess. And I was like, hey, are you staying at dad's when you come out here? And he's like, yeah. I was like, is your daughter and wife coming? And he's like, yeah. And my mom-in-law. And I was like, I got to clean, dude. Word. See you soon. So kind of... did that, got it all done. It was great. People were over all weekend, and I got to just, you know, get Uncle Matt time in Saturday and Sunday, which was, I mean, she's 2 years old. I'm sure we got parents that listen. It's very fun age. She knows just enough about what's going on and knows just enough words, but not a ton yet. She's not spouting off opinions and you know what I mean? Like, it's just a very fun age. And she likes me, dude. There was like 15 people over there for my sister-in-law's birthday party. And she was trying to chill with me, like nice. People that she knew. And she was like, let's go on that golf cart and look for some ducks, Uncle Matt. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude, we're going. Like, nice. Say no more.
I got less.
That was great. And then I always golf well after she comes to town, like for whatever reason. And then we just switched courses. Like there's two courses where I work, two 18 hole tracks. And in the summer, they have one open for 2 months. And then the other one, they switch at the 2 month mark of the summer and they open the other one. But so for the last 2 months, this course has been closed and been getting daily maintenance to recover from the season. And it is in such nice shape. So, I've played a couple really good rounds on a perfectly maintained course right now that is like, yeah, just out of this world for the golf nerds. I'm having a blast down here in the summer, hitting some good shots, figuring some stuff out. And just enjoying the heat.
We don't have to go too deep into it. We'll talk about it in a couple weeks, but you said you're going camping next weekend. You're on s'mores duty. I will remind you that Reese's now makes like a full bar that you can break off in squares like Hershey.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. All right. We got 16 people in our camp or something like that. Few kids. We're kind of the new people to the crew, so we want to make an entrance and establish ourselves. So first night, you know, it's like rotating dinner and dessert duties, and we volunteered for dessert duty to do a s'mores bar where we will have we'll have sticks for everyone, high quality, you know, to roast some marshmallows, plenty of marshmallows. And then we have the traditional graham crackers and Hershey's, but we also have Reese's Thins in milk chocolate, Reese's Thins in white chocolate, Caramellos, and like two other candies. And then we have like four different types of cookies, some Pepperidge Farms and some Keeblers. That you can use in place of the graham crackers. So, I mean, there might be, I mean, I haven't done the math, but I'm pretty sure there's like got to be over 20 potential new s'more variations that people can come up with, that we're going to, you know, make an entrance with.
Nice. The other thing I'll tell you, and I learned this years ago, and like I was dating a girl, it was like their family camping trip. But have you ever seen those things that like, they have super long tongs and you open it up and it's like I don't know what material.
It almost looks like a waffle iron.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you throw in like a grand biscuit and like throw some jam inside of that or whatever. And then you just throw it in the fire and then it comes out like a jammy hot pocket.
Oh, that sounds good.
I'm generally more of a salty food guy, but like, Jesus Christ, I want to eat some s'mores right now.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah. I'll report back on all the combos and how it actually goes. But that was a fun Albertsons trip to get that all sorted out. And we spent $80 on just s'more stuff, just all this random dessert. But for 18 people, that averages out pretty good per person.
Also, is this family or friends?
Friends.
All right, go ahead, Cobb.
Also, I'll out you real quick. You left this out strategically, but I do think it's important to the, or germane to the story, that people know before going on this adventure, you smoked a bunch of weed. And so you did take the selection process very seriously, which I respect.
Very high. And it was a recon mission.
I feel like it's germane, dude. People know you smoke weed on this cast.
Yeah. We had gone to Target and just kind of looked and brainstormed and got some different stuff from Target. And then we went to Albertsons to kind of price shop a little bit and just look at their selection. And Albertsons just had everything we needed on sale. Like, we spent $80, and, you know, at the end it says, like, you saved. We saved $30.
Wow.
Yeah, $110 worth of basically sugar for $80.
Dang.
Which, yeah, it's... it was just like, damn, we're just doing this all right now, huh? But unplanned, just like very high. And like, next thing you know, like, I'm complaining about how heavy the basket is. I'm like, we should have gotten a fucking cart, dude. What are we doing?
Real quick, just to highlight the you getting high and doing this. How many outsides are there? Is it just graham crackers?
No, there's graham crackers.
How many options we got?
Five total. Graham crackers plus four different types of cookies.
Okay, and then how many chocolate types we got?
I think five. I think there's two I'm forgetting that I'm feeling dumb about right now.
And then after that, we got just marshmallows, right? For the other filling?
Right.
Okay, so we got five of those marshmallows, five chocolate types. Are there any other ingredients that are going on these things?
No.
25 options.
Okay.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're bringing the heat. And then before this cast, we went back to that Albertsons on a different mission. But they got us again. And we saw they had like four packs of marshmallow sticks that were like designed to do the job. Like, it's fun to go get your own stick. But if there's 16, 18 people, like, and it's a regular campsite, people are always getting those sticks. We don't know. We don't want to have variables outside our control. So we're just showing up with proper marshmallow sticks. They're marked down to like $1.50 a pack. It was great. So
yeah, those have been on the end cap at the QFC all summer. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So this is perfect. They're on sale.
I will say, I screwed up last, like in the spring, going up to Taryn's house, and I was like, should we do s'mores? And she was like, absolutely. So then it's been like hours. And finally, I've been pumping up all these like kids and stuff. And I'm like, Taryn, where are the s'mores? And she's like, I thought you were bringing the stuff. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, buddy. Oh, Ted, that's like from a sitcom. It does. You did sort of imply you were bringing it.
Yeah. Wow. When I read back over the text, I was like, dude, you're 100% right. I'm the dumbass.
And you got the kids all pumped, and then
they were pumped.
Drop the bomb.
Yeah, we had to like scramble. I was like, "Well, you need to find some sugar in your home because these kids are going to revolt, and there's six of them."
Yeah, they will take over this land. Oh, Ted! God damn it, you make me laugh. That's hilarious. Such a ridiculous move. That's so funny.
All right. Well, again, we're on this week. We're off next week, Matt. Next week, you're off.
All right. Noted.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. As usual, trying to cut down on my social media, just my doom scrolling, etc. Feel like it affects my mental health and my focus negatively. I've had a lot of moments of boredom, a lot of extra free time last couple of days kicking around the house. And I found myself going to more and more ridiculous lengths to be entertained, you know, going to like just like news websites I would never visit, or like, I don't know, just like crazier and crazier spots. So, cop topic this week, What's the most ridiculous thing you've done in a moment of boredom? What is the most ridiculous thing you've done in a moment of boredom? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. No shame. We're not here to shame you like those guys with their bro hug with Ted. We're here to embrace.
What was the term about the most what thing I've done?
The most ridiculous thing you've done in a moment of boredom.
Okay, good, because masturbating is not that ridiculous when you're bored. So
no, reasonable.
Any reasons for it, things used, don't matter. It's all just totally reasonable. That's good. I'm just filtering down. Ted, if you got anything, feel free.
I mean, I have definitely, you know, sometimes like you show up somewhere and you're super early, right? And like the thing doesn't start till this time or whatever. Like I have definitely just spent an hour in a Target just walking around being like, that's some good furniture. Just like killing time. Cause it's like, I'm not just going to sit in my car and same thing. Like, I don't want to just scroll. So I'm like, oh, there's a Target nearby. I'll go walk around Target.
Go see this season's new tank tops. Nice, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like just kind of hang out and walk around. Like, I feel like that's one I've gone to a few times though, like, especially back at like, I don't know, like, let's just go to this store or that store and kill some time.
Yeah, seriously, killing time. I mean, I was a child in the 90s. I remember like you just sometimes had to kill, you know, 45 minutes to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's a forgotten art, truly.
It is.
It's like, yep, you're just waiting for your parents to pick you up or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, most of the ones I'm thinking of, like, I got injured from when I was young.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Like, when I was younger, I'd have proclivities to just do dumb shit to kill the boredom.
Yeah, like, can I eat all these spicy peppers or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times there was, like, skateboards involved. Like, and it wasn't, like, there was times where I got hurt, like, skating because I was going out to skate. But there was also times where, like, I'm just bored and my skateboard's around and like, well, let's just jump off this thing. Like, I'm not skating and doing reasonable tricks. I'm doing dumb stuff because I'm bored and there happens to be a skateboard handy. My ankle was like the size of a tennis ball after that one. It was like a 6-foot wall that I thought for some reason I could just like jump down and land on.
Dude, all the best ramps came from boredom.
Yeah. Later in life, like, I'm remembering, like, we weren't drunk, like, because it was the middle of the day and we were going to get drunk later that day and I had to drive to Bellevue for something. And so we just had some time to kill and, like, we just, like, put a rope in the trunk of my buddy's car and, like, I was skateboarding behind him being towed by that rope and, like, he started going too fast as we're headed towards a highway. And then I'm like,
classic.
I can't stop before the highway. So I'm either hoping I get through the highway without hitting a car and going into the ditch on the other side, or I'm bailing on my own terms and eating pavement, you know, here instead of maybe eating blackberry bush in the ditch or maybe getting hit by a car over there. So yeah, but those were, you know, I mean, it was like sober skateboarding. Matt did. Oh, man. Yeah, I would say I crashed a car racing it, like boredom. The times when I was younger that I tried to not smoke weed or drink did not go well. And like bored, sober. It was way better that I just chill and smoke some weed and like not hurt myself or others. Trust me. But
Matt, you were built for this question. I love this.
It was all sober boredom. That's what's crazy. Like, I have a separate set of drunken injuries I acquired, but yeah.
Yeah, you're more dangerous sober.
Yeah, I think so.
Essentially.
Seems like wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely left a meeting at work before we're like, you're in a conference room and like, I just don't care for the bullshit that day or whatever. I remember leaving one of the meetings and my buddy was like, what were you working on that paper? And I'm like, it's an RPO. He's like, what? It's a few years ago. It's like, it's the run play option. I was just going over different variations of the RPO. And I realized that I had just drawn like 12 football plays, like X's and O's and like arrows. Just like, that guy should go there. He should kick him out. Then we can run. He should tuck it.
Dude, RPO does sound like a important document.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome.
I mean, RPO is fun, and it also involves one of my favorite terms in sports, the mesh point.
The mesh point, of course.
For those that don't know, on a run play option, when the quarterback has the ball in the running back's stomach, but he doesn't hand it to him yet because he might tuck it and keep running, that's the mesh point. So you want to extend the mesh point as long as you can to get that linebacker to commit.
Dude, I also like the pitch, like the swing option pitch. And I feel most quarterbacks just end up throwing it inevitably. But a quarterback who has the confidence to fake the pitch and run can be so deadly. I remember Oregon's quarterback was doing that for a while. And it was just, God, they could just shred defenses when the quarterback is a good runner. Tough.
Oh, you really want to nerd out. Look at old school Nebraska. That triple option. Again, gets the engine revving, boys.
Oh, dude, I love this.
This was with the South Sudanese princess we were hearing about.
That's what I was about to say.
I don't think
this has been one of our most successful podcasts ever.
It is. I'm just impressed. She was like, no, I'm a Cornhusker fan. I was like, God damn it.
It's like, that's... That's do I ask you to marry me now or do I wait a week in your culture? Like, here's a goat, let's do this.
Let's just get out of the way. Not too spicy on the food, okay?
God damn it.
I like that I date this woman for 6 months and my stomach is just in knots. Like, boys, I've been eating more spicy food than
my life. I'm sweating, but it is worth it. I just gotta build up the tolerance. This is perfect. This is exactly what I do with like every woman in the bar that we never talk to. Build up the full backstory, and then you know, where do we go?
He doesn't know.
I'll
about
tell you
the
where
triple
we go.
Option,
we, but Ted, you invite her on the boat. Promise.
Invite her on the boat. All right. By the way, shout out to our new sponsor, BT's Boat.
Yeah. Thanks, bro.
Thanks appreciate for supporting us over the last week. Like I said, we'll be off next week. If you happen to be on San Juan Island on Monday, you might see me running around eating oysters. Go ahead, Cop.
Dude, I just realized one more thing. My friends who won that patio furniture on The Price is Right, it's a pontoon boat. We put the patio furniture on the pontoon boat. Everybody wins. Built-in barbecue. Let's go. It's all happening, baby.
They don't know. We've planned their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but yeah, we'll be off this week. Back in a couple of weeks. Other than that, enjoy summer. And then, hell, before you know it, boys, football will be back, man. I'll be fired up. All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith, is the podcast. Cheers. All right. Well, again, we're on this week. We're off next week, Matt. Next week, you're off.
All right. Noted.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Doop, 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 boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. As usual, trying to cut down on my social media, just my doom scrolling, etc. Feel like it affects my mental health and my focus negatively. I've had a lot of moments of boredom, a lot of extra free time last couple of days kicking around the house. And I found myself going to more and more ridiculous lengths to be entertained, you know, going to like just like news websites I would never visit or like, I don't know, just like crazier and crazier spots. So Cobb topic this week, what's the most ridiculous thing you've done in a moment of boredom? What is the most ridiculous thing you've done in a moment of boredom. Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. No shame. We're not here to shame you like those guys with their bro hug with Ted. We're here to embrace.
What was the term about the most what thing I've done?
The most ridiculous thing you've done in a moment of boredom.
Okay, good, because masturbating is not that ridiculous when you're bored. So
no, reasonable.
Any reasons for it, things used, don't matter. It's all just totally reasonable. That's good. I'm just filtering down. Ted, if you got anything, feel free.
I mean, I have definitely, you know, sometimes like you show up somewhere and you're super early, right? And like the thing doesn't start till this time or whatever. Like I have definitely just spent an hour in a Target just walking around being like, that's some good furniture. Just like killing time. Cause it's like, I'm not just going to sit in my car and same thing. Like, I don't want to just scroll. So I'm like, oh, there's a Target nearby. I'll go walk around Target.
Go see this season's new tank tops. Nice, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like just kind of hang out and walk around. Like, I feel like that's one I've gone to a few times though, like, especially back at like, I don't know, like, let's just go to this store or that store and kill some time.
Yeah, seriously, killing time. I mean, I was a child in the 90s. I remember like you just sometimes had to kill, you know, 45 minutes to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's a forgotten art, truly.
It is.
It's like, yep, you're just waiting for your parents to pick you up or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, most of the ones I'm thinking of, like, I got injured from when I was young.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Like, when I was younger, I'd have proclivities to just do dumb shit to kill the boredom.
Yeah, like, can I eat all these spicy peppers or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times there was, like, skateboards involved. Like, and it wasn't, like, there was times where I got hurt, like, skating because I was going out to skate. But there was also times where, like, I'm just bored and my skateboard's around and like, well, let's just jump off this thing. Like, I'm not skating and doing reasonable tricks. I'm doing dumb stuff because I'm bored and there happens to be a skateboard handy. My ankle was like the size of a tennis ball after that one. It was like a 6-foot wall that I thought for some reason I could just like jump down and land on.
Dude, all the best ramps came from boredom.
Yeah. Later in life, like, I'm remembering, like, we weren't drunk, like, because it was the middle of the day and we were going to get drunk later that day and I had to drive to Bellevue for something. And so we just had some time to kill and, like, we just, like, put a rope in the trunk of my buddy's car and, like, I was skateboarding behind him being towed by that rope and, like, he started going too fast as we're headed towards a highway. And then I'm like,
classic.
I can't stop before the highway. So I'm either hoping I get through the highway without hitting a car and going into the ditch on the other side, or I'm bailing on my own terms and eating pavement, you know, here instead of maybe eating blackberry bush in the ditch or maybe getting hit by a car over there. So yeah, but those were, you know, I mean, it was like sober skateboarding. Matt did. Oh, man. Yeah, I would say I crashed a car racing it, like boredom. The times when I was younger that I tried to not smoke weed or drink did not go well. And like bored, sober. It was way better that I just chill and smoke some weed and like not hurt myself or others. Trust me. But
Matt, you were built for this question. I love this.
It was all sober boredom. That's what's crazy. Like, I have a separate set of drunken injuries I acquired, but yeah.
Yeah, you're more dangerous sober.
Yeah, I think so.
Essentially.
Seems like wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
I've definitely left a meeting at work before. We're like, you're in a conference room and like, I just don't care for the bullshit that day or whatever. I remember leaving one of the meetings, and my buddy was like, "What were you working on that paper?" And I'm like, "It's an RPO." He's like, "What?" It's a few years ago. It's like, it's the run play option. I was just going over different variations of the RPO. And I realized that I had just drawn like 12 football plays, like X's and O's and like arrows. Just like, that guy should go there. He should kick him out. Then we can run. He should tuck it.
Dude, RPO does sound like an important document.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome.
I mean, RPO is fun, and it also involves one of my favorite terms in sports, the mesh point.
The mesh point, of course.
For those that don't know, on a run play option, when the quarterback has the ball in the running back's stomach, but he doesn't hand it to him yet because he might tuck it and keep running, that's the mesh point. So you want to extend the mesh point as long as you can to get that linebacker to commit.
Dude, I also like the pitch, like the swing option pitch. And I feel most quarterbacks just end up throwing it inevitably. But a quarterback who has the confidence to fake the pitch and run can be so deadly. I remember Oregon's quarterback was doing that for a while, and it was just, God, they could just shred defenses when the quarterback is a good runner. Tough.
Oh, you really want to nerd out. Look at old school Nebraska. That triple option. Again, gets the engine revving, boys.
Oh, dude, I love this.
This was with the South Sudanese princess we were hearing about.
That's what I was about to say.
I don't think
this has been one of our most successful podcasts ever.
It is. I'm just impressed. She was like, "No, I'm a Cornhusker fan." I was like, "God damn it!"
It's like that's. That's do I ask you to marry me now or do I wait a week in your culture? Like, here's a goat, let's do this.
Let's just get out of the way. Not too spicy on the food, okay?
God damn it.
I like that I date this woman for 6 months and my stomach is just in knots. Like, boys, I've been eating more spicy food than I've had in my
life. I'm sweating, but it is worth it. I just gotta build up the tolerance. This is perfect. This is exactly what I do with like every woman in the bar that we never talk to. Build up the full backstory, and then you know, where do we go?
He doesn't know.
I'll
about
tell you
the
where
triple
we go.
Option,
we, but Ted, you invite her on the boat. Problem solved.
Her on the boat. All right. By the way, shout out to our new sponsor, BT's Boat.
Yeah. Thanks, bro.
Thanks appreciate for supporting that. Us over the last week. Like I said, we'll be off next week. If you happen to be on San Juan Island on Monday, you might see me running around eating oysters. Go ahead, Cop.
Dude, I just realized one more thing. My friends who won that patio furniture on The Price is Right, it's a pontoon boat. We put the patio furniture on the pontoon boat. Everybody wins. Built-in barbecue. Let's go. It's all happening, baby.
They don't know. We've planned their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but yeah, we'll be off this week. Back in a couple of weeks. Other than that, enjoy summer. And then, hell, before you know it, boys, football will be back, man. I'll be fired up. All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith, is the podcast. Cheers.